So as you heard yesterday, our campaign slogan is Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E. And conveniently, each of these letters stands for one of the key elements of our manifesto. The first is T. Now, T stands for taxation. And what we're asking for is for taxation that is fair and equitable to everyone. We have long called for a decrease in the GST. In fact, we even called in the 2020 election for a temporary hold on the GST. What we cannot believe is in a time of global inflation that the PAP has chosen to raise the GST from 7% to 9%. So what we're saying is at the very least, bring the GST back down from 9% to 7%. Now, you've seen the FY 2025 budget, and that projects a surplus of $6.41 billion. What a surplus means, when a government runs a surplus, it basically means they collect more from taxpayers than they actually spend on services and things that they provide for the taxpayer. So in other words, the government is telling us it's collecting in excess $6.41 billion. If they were to reduce the GST from 9% to 7%, we would still have a surplus, and the surplus would be $1.83 billion. Now, any government in the world that's looking at a surplus of $1.83 billion will be asked the question, why are you collecting so much money from your citizens? So that's number one. And you can be sure that SDP MPs in Parliament are going to ask the question as to why we need to have a $6.41 billion surplus for FY2024 and whether there could be a more equitable way of distributing revenue generation, reducing GST, which hits the poor the hardest as a proportion, and instead of which looking at wealth taxes, which many of the other alternative parties have talked about. So that's the T. H is healthcare. Healthcare is an issue which is closest to my heart because I've spent more than 40 years in public healthcare in Singapore. Now, healthcare, the SDP has proposed a universal single-payer healthcare insurance scheme. And we proposed this way back in 2012 when we wrote a very detailed healthcare policy. What was interesting was, at that time, the PAP said the policy was unsustainable. It was not a good idea to cover pre-existing illnesses. Because remember, before 2011 general election, MediShield could not be used for pre-existing illnesses such as diabetes or cancer. After the general election, when the voters of Singapore sent a message to the PAP, our healthcare policy was there in place. And suddenly the PAP's objections to covering pre-existing illnesses disappeared. And that's because of the message that was sent by the voters. And so now MediShield Life covers pre-existing illnesses. That is an improvement. However, there are still very high deductibles. There's a $3,000 deductible. So that effectively excludes most of the subsidized hospitalization. In addition, the private healthcare sector in Singapore costs have spiraled completely out of control. There are third-party administrators which have come in. Clinics and practices are being bought over by venture capitalists and hedge funds. So something clearly needs to be done to rein in healthcare inflation. So the H stands for healthcare for all. The next is R. So R stands for respect. And we call for respect for our environment, for our climate. You know, we tried to hold this out there. It was just incredibly hot. There's been concretization of almost all the green, the spaces that we used to enjoy as kids in Singapore. We've seen what happened to the Dover Forest, the Clementi Forest, and even by mistake, parts of the Kranji Forest were demolished. The forests are actually the green lungs, which keep our air clean, and they provide a de-stressing zone for us to move around. You know, this. My wife is involved in wellness research, some of you know, and many of her colleagues practice forest bathing. But you know, when there's no more forest, there's no more green spaces, there's going to be no chance for young people in Singapore to get out there. And it's not just young people's personal well-being, it's also the well-being of the planet and our city that we live in. 2024 was the hottest year on record. It tied a couple of other previous years. But you know, those of us who are going through this kind of environment, we know what it's like, you know, to deal with heat and extreme climate. So our climate change policy proposes many things. It proposes a move away from the dependence on fossil fuels, which can damage the environment. And it also proposes using ground-up initiatives, rather than trying to come in from the top and impose certain rules about carbon taxes, etc. Although we're not against carbon taxes, but rather what we feel is that we let Singaporeans speak up. on creative ways that they can help save the planet. And that ties in with our fundamental principle, which is respect for every individual. This is respect for human rights, which is what the SDP has known for from its very beginning. So that's the R, C-H-R-I. Now, I is the hot-button issue of immigration. As you well know, the SDP is not against immigration. What we are against is the unbridled immigration, which has contributed to overcrowding, which is stress on the environment that we live in, and also pressure on jobs for Singaporeans. So we have a talent track policy, which has been defined in our population policy, where people who have special skills, who are willing to share these skills with Singaporeans, or people who have deep commitments to Singapore and Singaporeans, to their families, these people would be given priority. And we will not just open the door to welcome foreigners whose main skill is the ability to work at a lower salary, because that, cynically, is the way in which employers operate. They don't feel that Singaporeans are not smarter or more talented. They just feel that we are too expensive. And so what they do is they drive down the wages by hiring PMETs even at lower wages, which is a lose-lose situation for both of us. The foreigners end up being exploited, and the Singaporeans end up finding our wages driven down. So that's T-H-R-I. Now for V, I'm going to highlight the VERS program, because we heard in the 2018 National Day rally that the PAP government was going to come up with a program called VERS, Voluntary En Bloc Redevelopment Scheme, that was supposed to be to help out individuals who are facing lease decay. Now, many of us are living in properties that were built in the 1960s and 1970s, and we are approaching the period when these properties are going to be 79 years old. And you all know that CPF cannot be used to buy a property which has less than 20 years on its lease. It previously was 30 years, but a few years ago, the CPF board changed the rule to make it 20 years. So some of us are going to be in a fix because our properties are going to be worth nothing. So we really need to examine what this VERS is all about. We've heard about it, and in 7 years, we have given no information about how VERS is going to work. And it's not just curiosity. This, we're talking about retirement planning. You know, people in my generation, or those a few years younger than me, we're looking at what we're going to do in the next 20, 30 years, because we might live until our 80s or 90s. And if we don't know whether our HDB flats or our leasehold properties are going to be worth zero, it's going to be really difficult to plan for the future. So that's just one aspect of the housing policy that we are trying to address. But we have this non-open market flats, where we recognize that for the bulk of Singaporeans, a flat is a place where you live, where you have your family, where you grow up and you grow old. For a small proportion of people, it's an investment. You may want to flip it, and then there are certain constraints that have been put in, but we want to recognize that individuals, by and large, the majority, still want a place to live and to bring up their families. And that's the point of the non-open market concept, where they can only sell the flat back to the HDB if their situation changes. If they want to move to a smaller flat, then they sell back to the HDB, and then they can buy a non-open market flat. But on the other hand, if they want to trade in property, that's fine. But then you do it at the non-open market level. So that's what the housing policy, that's what the V stands for. And finally, the E. E, we feel, which is the most important, which is education. Now, education has been shown time and again the world over and in Singapore in the 1960s as a means to get rid of income inequality, as a means to level up society, give everybody a chance. Unfortunately, in Singapore, education is extremely unequal. We have a more than $1.5 billion tuition industry, which means that individuals who can afford it, they get access to the best resources. And we've just discovered that even the DSA, which was designed to help people who have other talents like sports, is being priced out of low-income families in Singapore. Only 5% of the DSA students are actually from low-income families. And the reason is simple. You get a tennis coach, you get a football coach, you get a chess coach. That gives you a better chance of getting a DSA place in a elite school. And the other point about education is that we've heard this just recently. There was a survey published which suggests the reason why there are so many PMET vacancies is because Singaporeans are not adequately prepared for the jobs of the future, the jobs of today even. So this is what we are talking about in our education policy, having smaller class sizes, getting rid of the PSLE, and focusing on developing the child. into who he or she wants to be and who he or she actually is gifted and talented to be, and recognizing the worth of every individual. So there you have it, THRIVE. Taxation, healthcare, taxation that is fair, healthcare that is universal, respect for our planet and for individuals, immigration that is sensible and rational, a VERS scheme that works for Singaporeans, and education that enables every individual to rise up to fulfill their potential.